Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. In the secret, the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. Quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. Want to know you more. I want to trust you. I want to seek your face, want to know you more. In the secret and the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret and the quiet hour, I wait to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. Want to know you more. I want to trust you. I want to seek your face. Want to know you more. We are reaching for the highest goal. There we might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of our way. Cause we want to know you more. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. Want to know you more. We want to trust you. We want to seek your face. Want to know you more. Confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God.
Everybody. I'd like to read John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. The word of God is a living word. And it's a beautiful thing because you see different things. You're constantly seeing it from different perspectives and how it applies. I woke up this morning thinking about consequences and choices. We suffer the consequences for our actions. Whether we know it or not, we do. And we have to make choices continually throughout the day. Choices to serve God or serve our flesh. That's what it all boils down to. When you choose to serve yourself or your flesh, it leads to consequences that are not pleasant. When you choose to serve the Lord, there are always beautiful consequences. There's a scripture, it's Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." To me, that says that if you have chosen the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then he has put it within you to choose to do what is right. To choose to do that which is pleasing to him. And not only to choose to do it, but actually to do it. He's given you the ability to do both. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you don't have God in you, you cannot do what is pleasurable for him. Pleasing to him. It all boils down to choose him. Choose life. Choose light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. I've heard it said before that if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome, you're a fool. There's got to be a change. Make a choice today to serve him. Put him first. Seek that light. Philip was talking this morning, Philip and Brad, were talking about brainwashing. Brainwashing in the world versus brainwashing in the Lord. You know, we need to have the mind of Christ when we go through our day. Otherwise, we just deal with everything that comes our way the way everyone else does. There's no difference. It is a beautiful thing to have authorities in the Lord who can show us the way, who can show us how to be. And I know for me, I've watched some of those in authority in this ministry and watched them, watched their lives, watched how they handle situations, watched how they deal with things and what they say. And I've been surprised at how many times it's not what I would have done. It's not what I would have thought to say. I wouldn't have handled it that way. And I watch the consequences of how they have dealt with it. And it's amazing to see the Lord work. When it is not about you, when you are seeking him, when you submerge yourself in him and his will and his ways, which is so completely contrary to our ways, I mean, I don't know what more to say. There's just the choice is yours to follow him, to seek him, to do his will. If you've noticed that your life has suffered consequences that are not positive, if you haven't noticed that, look around. He is a gracious, merciful Father, and there is forgiveness, and there is repentance before the forgiveness. If you need that today, turn to him. Repent. Call out to him. He promises he will be there. And then he has put that ability to do what he would have you do in you. You have to choose to believe him. You have to choose to believe him and his word, that he is in him is light and no darkness at all. When anything comes and tells you otherwise, you have to remember those words. Use the word to fight against the things that are of this world. Put on his mind. Choose him, his light.
My soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Take me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You're taking me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock, and now I know you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Take me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Good morning, everybody. So, let's see. Scripture today. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. There's all kinds of stuff out in the world today that is talking about love, quote unquote. And if you've studied the Bible, you know that there are various types of love. There is a romantic love, there is a philios, brotherly love, and then there is what's called agape love, that love of choice and love of decision. And when God talks about his love towards us, it is agape love. When he talks about us loving one another, it's agape love. And this is a very big distinction, because agape love is not swayed by feeling. The other loves are. They're all dependent on something else, some sort of external whatever. But agape love comes from Jesus. It comes from the Holy Ghost. And it's something that you have and you choose to use and you choose to hold on to. And agape love is really about preference, and it's about preferring God over all things and then preferring one another, or those, your brothers and sisters, over yourself. See, agape love is always going to put something else before you. It is a love of unselfishness. The other loves are actually a selfishness, and that's what's the big contrast. You see, agape love is unselfishness. I may have coined a new word, I don't know. But the other types of love are based in selfishness, because they are tied to how other people make you feel. God's love, thankfully, his love for us, is not tied to how we make him feel. Now, agape love is a love that is that love of choice, a love of decision. It's not based on other things. Now, this may be an odd passage, but it's the one that really is resonating with me this morning. Let's see how this is going to work out this morning. So Genesis chapter 22 is a story of Abraham and Isaac going to the altar. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Okay. You talk about a test, because that's what it means to tempt. He did prove Abraham. See, God wanted to know where Abraham's heart was. And he took that thing that Abraham had believed for and trusted for and had been delivered to him miraculously. And he tells Abraham to take that thing which he loveth, his only son, and sacrifice him to the Lord. That's a pretty big ask. That's a pretty big ask. But you know, I bet you if you were to think, I don't know of anyone that's been, had this required of them, but I know that we all have things that we love, and the Lord has asked us to set them down. Family, jobs, relationships, whatever they may be. Sometimes those things are not good things and we should be setting them down. Sometimes we don't understand why. And Abraham here didn't need to know why. He didn't need to know why. He just did what? Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Was there any hesitation? I mean, was there, Lord, we need to work something out here. How's this going to work? There was none of that. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and did what he was asked to do. You see, Abraham loved God. Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. My dad used this on me quite often and yet still does, and he should do it. Because if I say to my father, Dad, I love you, and don't do as he asks me to do, then guess what? I'm a liar. If my daughter tells me, Daddy, I love you, and yet operates continuously in rebellion and disobedience to the things I give her to do, then she is a liar, and she does not love me. She loves herself. If my wife says, honey, I love you, and yet is disobedient and rebellious and operates outside of those things that I've asked her to do, then she is a liar, and she does not love me. That is the harsh reality of what is true. It just is the truth. The proof of Abraham's love here was not him saying, oh, Jesus, when he didn't know his name, Jesus. He wasn't, oh, God, I love you. The proof of Abraham's love to God here was what? He did what he was asked. I don't see an argument here. I don't see him pleading here. And we have examples in Scripture of Abraham pleading, don't we? I mean, he did for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he, you know, negotiated down and all manner of things, trying to, you know, do what he did. But I don't see that here. He just got up the next morning and did as he was asked. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I don't know if Isaac was starting to put two and two together here. You know, the idea that Isaac was some four-year-old is absolutely not true. He was a teenager at this point, and Abraham was well in age. So we see another type of love here about to come out. We see Abraham's love to God, and we're going to see Isaac's love to his father. What's verse 8 say here? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, this is getting right down to the wire, isn't it? And yet, do we see any wavering in Abraham? Do we see any stumbling or, I mean, I guess we have to go by what's written here. I don't know what was internally in him, but I do sort of know because in the New Testament it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And part of that believing God was that God had said that the promise was going to come through Isaac. So he believed God and trusted God to the point that because God said the promise had to come through Isaac, even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead because God doesn't break his promises. God does not break his covenant. And God had made a covenant with Abraham, and that was not going to be broken. So this wasn't some sort of blind faith, some sort of naive thing. No, Abraham had walked with God for many years, and he knew he could trust God, and he knew that God was not going to let him down. But still, you know, it's a big deal to put your only son on an altar and pick up a knife. But Abraham's love for God and his preference for the things of God superseded anything he had feelings-wise for his son. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And here's the beautiful part. The next verse. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now let's look at God's love towards us. You see, before we ever loved God, before we ever believed in God, before we ever trusted or even knew the name of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, the blood of that sacrificial lamb was shed on the cross for our sins. You see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. See, the wages of sin, which is what we live in, what we're born into, is death. But just like God putting a ram there in the stead of Isaac having to be offered up, he sent his only son. To the cross to be our sacrifice for sin. And when it came time, and he was at the rock, and he said, Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. Jesus loved us with agape love and preferred us over himself and went to the cross. And as he looked at the cross and all that was before him, unlike Isaac, where there was a ram, there was no ram for Jesus. He was the ram for us. When I think about what love really is, true love, is there a greater love than a man given his only life, given his life for another? That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. When we consider that type of love, then all the other quote-unquote loves that are out there are insignificant. You know, I sang a song. And sometimes I struggle singing songs because depending on which way you look at them, you know, they can be, well, they could be pointing you in the right direction or pointing you in the wrong direction. And I sang the song, Change My Heart, O God. And that's one of those because some people, I'm guessing, it can be perceived as that song is a song of God, do it for me. But when I sing that song, I know I am unable to do it. I am unable to fix me. I can't do it. It's impossible. I've tried years and years and years thinking through some measure of something that I can possibly do. I can be better. And, you know, I just can't. In myself, I can't do it. I cannot physically accomplish that. It just doesn't work. So I cry out to God and say, Lord, please fix me. See, I can look at myself and I can see in my carnal man that it operates in everything but agape love. The opposite of godly love. And I know that that is, you know, that is the curse of the flesh. I also know that through Jesus Christ, we are not subject to that anymore. Hallelujah. So you talked a little bit about consequences. You know, and I think about what if Abraham had argued with God? What if he hadn't gone? You know, the thing is, he did go, and praise God for it. And the blessing he received, having been obedient, was pretty awesome. When you choose God, there is no downside. There just isn't. There's no downside to choosing God. Period. Your flesh will try and tell you that there is, and there just isn't. There just is no downside to choosing God. Abraham preferred God. He loved God. He believed God. And it was accounted and imputed unto him for righteousness. You can see, or you can just see it. You know, going back to your scripture, Sue, which is, you know, John 3. And although I should know it by heart, perchance I butcher it, I'm going to look it up and read it. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, here is the love. We are condemned already before we know Christ. And God, in his love, gave us a way out. Bought and paid for. Just like the ram for Isaac. Jesus shed his blood on the cross and bought our freedom. Believe that. Believe it. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And be free. Come let us.
us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture and the sheep of His hand.
Worship You.
man, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, more than any other thing. You are Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, more than any other thing. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Thank you. You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.